from MetaMask. How you guys doing? A3FevCon, end of the day. I hope you have some energy because I'm going to ask it of you. Okay, so I'm going to share some stuff that I'm really excited about. We've been working on it for a while. We've been thinking about a lot of things. There's a lot of challenges in this ecosystem. You know, I think MetaMask at this point, we're like the thing that you love to hate. It's like, you know, we get the joy of being hated because you use us too much, you know? Like, so we're constantly thinking about, like, what's the next step? How do we get you guys where you want to go? How do we get your users where they want to go? How do we get out of your damn way? How do we unite these three things? That's going to be a kind of theme: security, utility, usability. And to clarify, because I know some people think that usability and utility are the same, I'm going to say, for my purposes, when I say utility, I mean functionally, like a command line coder could do it. But when I say usability, I'm talking about like accessibility, like anybody could do it. So how do we make something that's so secure that anybody could do it, but that they could do kind of anything, right? That's the dream, right? And we want to make that possible for you. So right now, modern wallets are limited in these three axes. The first one, innovation, right? We don't add new networks fast enough. We don't add your favorite chain, your favorite proof of authority, whatever. We don't add new EIP features. There have been better token standards than ERC20 for like 5 years, like longer than there's been Ethereum. So we don't support the latest scaling tech, right? Today, if you've got a new Plasma thing, or you've got a new layer two thing, you're basically gonna make your own wallet. So it's like the average theme will be like, well, you make a new wallet, you make a new wallet. Contract gap, you make a new wallet. You got a new hosting service or alternative, make a new wallet. You got a new hardware wallet, it's not supported by us, we're not merging fast enough, you're probably gonna have to make it into your own wallet. You got a new kind of cryptography, you got some obscure stuff. Make a new wallet. Too small, too slow to merge pull requests. Did we not get that feature in time? Fork us. Make a new wallet. We're not secure enough. Okay, we're a JavaScript runtime. Now, I hope that you saw Aaron's security talk on LavaMode. He's given it a couple times. He's talking about how we're working to isolate our dependencies better. And you should check that out. It's a little bit on Twitter. But that's scary, and the average wallet, every wallet, is a big pile of dependencies. And every new feature increases the attack surface. So you're simultaneously furious at your wallets for not having enough features, and you should be terrified the more features your wallet has, because each one of them is making you more vulnerable. Okay? And there's account management trade-offs, of course, and we all like have our favorite ones and like to crap on the other ones. If you make the users record their keys or memorize passwords, they can just lose them. You might have some new great contract account idea, maybe you can get the Parity team to put their funds in it. And then lastly, the wallets just aren't usable enough, right? Installing a web first and upgrade. Yeah, I'm sorry, I don't know the wording of that, but yeah, you want to upgrade, you want the procedural progressive security. You want to be able to say, look, if you've got nothing in your wallet, don't back it up, have easy onboarding, all that. Seed phrases, they're passe and annoying. You should have options, right? You should be able to onboard your users as gracefully as you can conceive of. And, first, crypto is a pain, but we've got solutions for that. Why won't the wallets merge these solutions as fast as they deserve to be? And confirmation screens, of course, are obnoxious and tedious, and while they're secure, there's so many of them that they can lead to user fatigue. And even if the users are looking at them, they're basically unreadable, because you're trying to confirm something in a Turing complete computer. Like, we cannot anticipate everything that you've got. We just can't. So how do we leverage this big decentralized ecosystem, all of your creativity in this room, and make something that's secure and usable and scalable? And so that we can all make it together, and so that we can just solve this. So how do we do it? Well, I'm going to propose that delegation is a really powerful thing in the hands of a user. If you do delegation right, you don't grant any authority by default. You have a nice, peaceful, safe place to start. You've got a wallet that doesn't do anything. It doesn't risk your funds. It's conservative, but you're safe. But with human-readable messages, you can have machine-enforceable authorities that themselves can be delegated, allowing for large networks of a transitive extensibility of the system. To facilitate this, you might have seen in the last couple months, we released an EIP. It's in the draft stage. You're welcome to critique it and help improve it. It's our wallet permissions API. It's a method by which we propose to suggest users log into websites with a series of machine enforceable permissions that are human readable too. And so we're increasingly making MetaMask a place where it grants no authority by default, keeps users perfectly safe, but gives them the power to grant authority as they see fit. The API looks something like this. You've got an RPC method called request permissions, and the parameters is an object where you request the functions you want access to, which each has a configuration option. Those options can include limitations, self-imposed, maybe the allowance that you need, the duration. There's really, the sky's the limit in terms of the options that we might extend here. And so this, you know, really just the beginning of a standard. So what wallet permissions are we interested in adding? Why are we pursuing this? What do we think we can really get? Because we've been doing a lot of interviews with dApp builders. We're not just doing this in a box. So what are the most useful ones? Well, people want privacy. People want, you don't want to ask users to switch the network every time they log in. It would make a lot of sense to make that part of the login flow. A lot of apps use a signature when they first start, but also, why not delegate a key and give permission to do signatures on the user's behalf? Decryption, you know, the ability to establish an end-to-end encrypted channel within a dApp. That would be the beginning of, like, truly private dApps. We could have token management become decentralized rather than each wallet having a centralized repository where it tells you what tokens are legitimate. You could opt into whatever kind of authority for that you perceive. Spending limits, obviously. And what else? What do we think is maybe the single most important permission and the thing that I'm like really excited to kind of share with you guys today, the thing we think closes the loop, the thing we just renamed 5 minutes before this thing because we got a new graphic, thanks Christian. The permission to add permissions, which we call MetaMask Snaps. It was the MetaMask plugin system about 5 minutes ago. It snaps is awesome, right? He's a little cyborg. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Thank you. So what is it? Oh, well, I made 2 slides of it. Okay, I like it so much. Okay, so what's the concept? It's a script that you can suggest someone adds to their wallet. It's JavaScript. It's a script that can ask for permissions in the same format that a dApp can. This script gets no other authorities except for what the user explicitly consents to. And this is made possible by the great work at Agoric on their Secure ECMAScript project, which allows us to basically evaluate with very explicit endowments. Now, you know, there's obviously caveats. You know, security is an ongoing process. It's never perfect. So we're going to have, like, strong user cautions, especially early on into the system. But we think that this is the kind of path that we believe is very right to pursue. And the plugins can then provide APIs to every website that user visits.
Whoa.
Yeah, that's what closes the loop. So here's the IP 2255, the next generation. That's the wallet permissions. Now, one of the wallet permissions you can request, it's this kind of weird namespace thing, where you say you want wallet plugin, and then there's a domain string. In this case, I made a plasma.eth. Let's say that plasma.eth is a pointer to an IPFS file, which is a plugin bundle. We'll learn a little bit about that in a minute. Now, when the user sees that, they get a confirmation, just like a normal login screen, but one of the permissions would be the permission to connect to this new protocol. Uniswap.eth wants to talk to unipig.eth. You know, and it wants to, and then it would also have its own permissions here. This is, I kind of edited this one a little. So it would maybe want to show custom assets, connect to the network, and whatever else. I'd have to talk to their protocol devs about exactly what would be their least authority requirement. So what are a few possibilities we're thinking about for these plugins? We think that new asset types are finally in the hands of the developers. We think new token standards. We're really excited to see subscriptions. New kinds of collectibles, more secure tokens that actually keep you safer. Credit lines. Why not put your CDPs in there? Like, why not let your users decide? You know, one of my favorite Reddit comments ever said, MetaMask, if the internet is a RPG, MetaMask is your inventory. So how do we just let this be your inventory? Just put what you want in. And bring your own cryptography. We're adding an experimental API that's been in EIP for about 6 months now, this get app key proposal. So within your plugin context, you can get a private key that only your domain has access to. And that means you don't have to ask us to merge your encryption or signing method. You get to decide, you get to define your own cryptography type. If you need a new elliptic curve, if you need a ZK snark, a start, whatever you need, you build a script that defines just that signing type, and you get to expose an API to the websites the user visits so that they can now sign using that type. And you'd be able to show custom confirmations as well. This makes layer 2 suddenly feasible, right from the normal wallet. There's a lot of great teams doing security audits, right, as a service, but where's their channel to currently show that? Why not let the wallet now our job is just to extend the API surface that lets them be useful. So we say, okay, our API is the permission to warn you about a dangerous contract. Now you can ask for the permission to warn a user about a dangerous contract, right? That's the API, that's the pull request. You're no longer saying, hey, can you lock your users into my service and pull in all my dependencies while you're at it? No, you ask the user if you can just warn them about addresses they're sending to. You don't get to see anything else. Your code is securely isolated. We don't have to merge pull requests anymore. And people get to be safer because they're permissionlessly getting warned by a whole network of auditors. Potentially you could charge for these plugins too. We are excited to support new protocols. We actually have an examples folder we're gonna show you in a little bit. There's an IDFS example, it was like 10 lines. You'll be able to make custom confirmations. The current beta build that we have just uses alert and confirm, but we are gonna let them be pretty eventually too. And new account types. There's really an endless number of account types. Have we figured out the last one, the account type to rule them all? Or maybe even account types deserve to be extensible. One of the coolest things about the Gnosis Safe is it supports add-ons itself. So why not make a plugin that accepts plugins, perhaps? And of course, you're getting fewer confirmations because when you delegate some capabilities to a script, you can potentially delegate things that you would normally be repetitively confirming, and so there's just opportunities for reducing user confirmation. Okay, so then what do you want to see? Is there anything that I didn't say there? Are there use cases that, is anybody like, my thing, finally, I don't have to PR a wallet or build a wallet. Am I covering them? Yeah, you have them? Okay. That's fine, you don't have to share.
Free money.
What's that?
Free money.
Free money?
I wasn't. I'm
just
kidding.
You can make a free money plugin. We have a sample plugin that just a in-memory
app. Just your way.
Yeah. We'll show you how to make free money in just a minute. Here's a screenshot. We have a very simple MVP right now. Here's an example of a contract audit plugin. We whipped this up in an hour this morning. So it's incredibly easy for us to add new features that then are just surface area for the ecosystem to extend on. This also allows for kind of new onboarding. Those confirmations that we use to onboard people, they can also be used as onboarding links. So we kind of have an idea that in the future, if you want to onboard somebody to crypto, there could be a single link. And it could incorporate both the redirection to get onboarded with the wallet, but also the configuration of the dependencies that your application needs in that wallet. Right? So if your point of sale requires a certain state channel, why not just give a person a single link? They suddenly have a wallet. The only thing in their wallet is your store's redemption frequent shopper points. But that's the only thing they care about. So what are they getting into crypto for? But your product, right? This is about what you're building. We were always just been an on-ramp for you. And wait, what was that last one? We can make it extensionless? Oh yeah, you could. We can build this. This is all JavaScript. We could make this a single page thing. We could do a burner equivalent of this and gradually progress it. And I know there's someone calling for that. It's kind of a bandwidth thing for us. We're kind of in the, obviously. So the way we've approached this is iterative. We added this permission system. We're pretty happy about it, but it's a mere RPC. RPCs are pretty coarse, but they will get us started. The plugin system uses the RPC permission system to allow users to request permission and then pass those permissions onto scripts. And from here, we basically want to know what API surface unleashes your projects the most. I gave a lot of examples, and some of those are accounted for. Some of those APIs we're making, we're going to show you some docs in a second. Yeah, one just came to mind.
Yeah, curious about like hooks. So how is it that we actually like put our, like a plugin, do we actually get it able to modify the user experience beyond just like the confirmation screen or?
So initially just, we should probably do a Q&A a little bit later, but initially we're looking at very discrete, deliberate changes to the user experience where we're still controlling it, but we're like permitting parts of it.
Right.
Longer term, as there are more secure options available for extending the user interface in a safe way, we're open to exploring that. But I think a very gradual iterative approach is the way, one we're looking at. It's already a pretty big lead.
Can the plugin also change the UI and branding, or is it like not yet?
Not yet, but that's like the kind of conversation we can now have. We can say, would you be interested in the API to rebrand and take your commission? And be like, and you're like, well, we are going to need dinner at some point, but we can talk. You know, now we've elevated the EIP conversation from like, is your specific protocol part of the wallet? And all wallets now have to integrate it to, you can now define your component and you can just define the surface area we need to expose to enable it. And that can be the politic.
One good question around like, so in theory, could this be like purchasable plugins? So there's like a little store?
Yeah, I think we've been considering that. You know, we are pre-revenue as like pretty much every wallet is. It's possible that a curation of a store or something like that could be an option there. But this is the beginning of the developer beta. We're not like selling or walling this at all yet. We've got a lot to cover, and I do want to help you guys build a pretty good on time. But I'm hoping that we have a majority of the workshop for you guys to actually try it out and a period for questions. So I'd like to thank some of the early teams that we gave. We got some feedback from. We did some user research. Some teams even pulled out some early prototypes. So now to talk a little bit about what a Hello World plugin looks like, I'd like to welcome to the stage Mr. Eric Mars.
Now, so for my first trick, let's make this area up here just a little bit more intimate. We have two seats over here, two seats over here, one seat over here. Please, move forward. Come, towards the stage, as it were, is. Also, if you happen to have internet and you scan that QR code, it will take you to the page where you can download things to actually start building something.
Yeah, right. Yeah. That will take you to the wiki. It's got everything. You could basically scan that and leave it your online.
Right. Yes. Because we're dropping videos and all sorts of stuff. Yes. But anyway, I'm gonna have to drop this mic because I need both of my hands. So when everyone has finished moving up, if they want to, good. I'm going to say that that's good enough.
There's like two seats up here. There's a seat here. There's like two more seats here if you want to come sit.
Is that sort of visible to people? This level of Zoom looking good?
No.
More? Better? That's
better. Go to full screen.
Can you go to the QR code page?
QR code page, you mean? Sure. Did you get the QR code?
Yeah.
Also, do we have the local QR code?
Actually, no, I'm going to do that.
All right. Well, everything will be uploaded and available later for when you guys have...
After his presentation, we'll even host it locally for anybody who can't get on the internet.
Okay, so we just now made public the two relevant repositories for this. I'm going to talk about like what a plugin is under the hood for the devs in the room, so you can take this away and start building with it. We have a fork of the MetaMask extension that supports the plugin system. It is a MetaMask plugin beta. We also have a command line utility called MM plugin that you can use to build, configure, watch for file changes, serve them locally for testing, for local development. And we have on the MetaMask plugin beta repository a wiki that should contain everything you need to get started. And so what is so as far as the MetaMask extension is concerned, a plugin is two things. One is a package.json file following the conventions established by NPM, which should be super familiar to most of you. Second is a source file bundle. And we made the tool MM plugin, as I said, to help you get started with that. And on the wiki, we also talk about the plugin API, which is the API that the extension exposes to the plugin context. As Dan mentioned, we take the plugin bundle, we load it into the extension, and execute it inside of a CESS container. That container doesn't get any sort of globals by default, so we inject some stuff into it by default at the moment, such as the Fetch API, XML, HTTP request, and so on. We are also injecting this global wallet object, which represents, which basically contains most of the methods that MetaMask uses internally to construct our user interface. It's basically, and also a bunch of provider methods. So you can think of it as a superset of the Ethereum provider. We're still changing stuff, and we're thinking about, like, we're definitely going to add methods. We may also remove some methods. It's in flux, but right at the moment, a plugin can request basically any method that we use internally, except for some super critical key management stuff that nobody should ever be able to request. A plugin can request that as a permission to use for whatever it is it's trying to do. For my next trick, I'm going to show you how to get started with developing MetaMask plugins, or snaps, if that rebrand sticks. We made the tool MM plugin. So all I've done here is I've created a folder for my project. I'm calling it Hello World. And we're just going to call MM plugin init. So the first thing it's going to do is it's just going to walk you through the usual NPM init workflow to create the basic package.json. So we're just going to click through this. Hello plugins. Entry point, no test, no repo. All of us off. Yes. Great. And so we're going to go ahead and accept that. Once it's gone through the regular NPM init, then we add some more stuff that MetaMask uses to identify that it is a plugin and how to load it and so on. We're just going to use the defaults here, but I'll just show you what it looks like. We define a local server port, like where we'll host it locally for development. An output directory, and the initial permissions that the plugin is going to request upon being installed. We're just going to run and accept that. And then it did a bunch of stuff, but all it really did was it just wrote the files that we'll need to work. And inside this disk folder, we have the bundle itself. So it just wrote these files with the most sort of minimal Hello World plugin you might want as a framework for you to get started with, built it. We can start by taking a look at the package.json. You'll see that it looks just like a regular package.json, except for this Web3 wallet property here. It contains a bundle property which tells MetaMask where the bundle lives. You have the local, which just says like where is the bundle relative to the project root, and then the URL, which is where it will be hosted. If for production, that would be like the URL of where you are hosting the plugin bundle online. And we hope to support ENS and other things for that, but for now, it's just HTTP. And the initial permissions, that's just, as I said, those permissions that it will request when it's installed. And so, now I'm going to call watch so we can rebuild on change. And serve so we can. Okay. Here. And refresh. Ah, it's the front end of our plugin. And inside the project directory, it's just it builds an index.html file just so you have a user interface as you can work with and get a feel for like what it will actually look like in practice. And so in my extension here, I have the plugin version of MetaMask loaded. I'm just going to make sure that my state is clear. Usually you should not have to do that, but we add those buttons just in case for development purposes. And then I'm just going to go ahead and hit connect. And that'll initiate this request. And this request here is the dApp saying, hey, MetaMask, can I talk to this plugin and also install it if it's not already installed? So this is the dApp asking permission to use the plugin. And we're going to go ahead and say yes. And now this request, so we're still working on exactly what this is going to look like. But this request is the plugin, which we just now installed, saying, hey, can I, the plugin, get the permission to show alerts on the user's page? And as Dan mentioned, currently we're just using the browser defaults for alert and confirm, but we're going to eventually we want to allow plugin developers to build their own sort of custom confirmation screens. So say that you have some interaction, you build a plugin for your dApp, the dApp calls the method in the plugin, and you want to display a custom confirmation screen that's initiated from inside MetaMask, you'll be able to do that eventually. That's the plan. But we'll submit that. And this plugin, being very simple, it has a hello method, so we're going to send the hello method. And that super tiny text says, hello, localhost. And the big deal...
It didn't come from the page, it came from MetaMask.
It came from MetaMask, yes. It came from it. So it, because it uses the alert method that we've defined inside MetaMask, which is the permission it asked for when it was installed, and that's where the notification came from. And so the big deal. So the big deal here is that now we've effectively extended the MetaMask in-page provider with an RPC method that belongs to a plugin that's running trustlessly inside MetaMask in a CESS container. And so if we look under the hood here of what's going on, we can start with. Start with the index.html. So this was the web page we were just looking for, our front end as it were. It has some buttons and stuff. And the first thing I want to bring your attention to is this connect function here. So this follows the EIP 2255 API that Dan showed earlier in his slides. And so this is, again, the dApp asking for permissions to talk to the plugin. And so the method is wallet request permissions. And the permission is this plugin origin string that we construct here. And so basically, what that is, it just takes this permission and namespace prefix and then the plugin's origin string and just tacks it on and just joins them together. And that becomes a permission identifying the plugin. And then we have the send handler here, which again just uses the in-page provider to send a message to MetaMask. But now the method, we use plugin origin as the method, which tells MetaMask, hey, I want to talk to the plugin that's identified by this string. And inside here, we send an object that can take whatever shape the plugin developer wants it to take. But we just use like the same RPC request object format. And there's one, and the method is hello. And if we look at the plugin source code, it is 10 lines.
and we see that it defines a single method called hello, and it sends back hello, whatever origin it came from. And the origin here, that's the origin of the dApp that sent the request. And so to just go over what we have going on here, we have this, as I mentioned, the global wallet object, which is the API that MetaMask exposes to the plugin. And this register RPC message handler is what you use as a plugin developer to extend the MetaMask in, to effectively extend the MetaMask in page provider API. And so that takes an origin string, which is the string of the requesting context, so like the dApp's origin, and then a request object that can be whatever shape you want. It doesn't even have to be an object, it could be a string, it could be whatever, but by convention in RPC, we use object. And it just says hello origin string is what it returns, and if it doesn't get a method that it recognizes, it throws an error. And so we can very simply alter this, and since we're at DevCon 5, we'll save that, and we'll write, and it rebuilds, and we'll go back to the in page. And now because I rebuilt the plugin, we're just gonna do the connect flow again and reinstall it. And now if we send hello, we get konnichiwa, localhost, instead. Thanks. If you like that, just wait and see what these examples can do. And before I do that, was there a question in the back?
What happens when the remote bundle gets changed if you update your app?
So we will have some well-defined way of handling updates to plugins. We have yet to define what that's going to look like at the moment, since it's we haven't defined it yet, since nothing is in production yet. But there will be a way for plugins to essentially issue updates to themselves, like let users know that they're updated, and we'll also provide a way for because the plugins can persist their state also, and we'll also expose a way for updating without like erasing its state, its local state inside the user's extension. Yeah. But for now, there is every time you update, you just reinstall it and it wipes everything for the time. Yes?
Mobile too, or just desktop?
So how this is going to work with mobile is we absolutely want it to work with mobile. But how we're going to accomplish that.
The beta's on desktop.
Yeah.
No pressure. I'm just
Yeah. No, but you're right to ask. We want to go there. Ask Bruno.
Can I use React or any JavaScript-based.
You mean can the plugin itself be an Angular app? Probably, because the thing is like, you try and tell us what errors you get when you try to build it. Because
we'll talk about that.
Yeah, we'll talk about that in a second. Because like what the build script does, it will pull in all of your dependencies. When you build, and we run them through Browserify currently. And so there are sometimes issues that arise when your dependencies are being too clever with JavaScript globals, or when they do dumb stuff that they shouldn't, then it throws errors. Yeah. You're asking about this.
Yeah, the front end.
I'm asking about this application, the page.
It's not a desktop application, it's a browser extension.
Yes,
yeah.
This is my question. Can I use this plugin in a desktop application?
Eventually someday. We would have to go to a native layer. It's beyond this, it's not the feature we're introducing here. Yeah.
But anyway, thank you for your question. And here for the examples, there are a couple, we have a number of them, we're constantly adding to them. Hello plugin here is the one you get when you run MM plugin init. And the first one I want to show you is this recipient address auditor, which is just basically we've added an internal API method that allows you, the plugin developer, to tell MetaMask what is an unsafe or a safe address. And so if we look at the package.json here, the initial permissions requested is new unapproved transaction. So that's an event inside of MetaMask that's fired when a new transaction is created that the user has to approve. And then this new address audit is a way for the plugin to modify that screen. And so here we've created this mock audit API, which it looks at whether the final hex character of the recipient address is a letter, and then from there determines if it's safe or unsafe. What this plugin looks like is we say we create a listener for new unapproved transaction, and whenever a transaction appears, we call this add address audit method, and it will indicate in the send screen if this particular plugin thinks that the recipient is safe or unsafe, or perhaps unknown if the plugin doesn't have an opinion. So now we can add all sorts of smart like contract security, recipient security plugins with this API. The second example is custom tokens or free money. This is a lot. Yeah, whoever has that question, pay attention. So here our only permission is this wallet manage assets method, and if we look at this source. We define our own free money token here that we call asset, and this one lives in memory, so it won't be it won't make you rich for very long. But we can imagine that, you know, it's some ERC interface that's unknown to MetaMask, but that you, the plugin developer, know about. And so we define this object that tells MetaMask some basic stuff, like presumably if it's an asset, it has some sort of symbol, a balance, an identifier, maybe an image, maybe some decimals. And then we have an RPC message handler. So from the in page, the user can get the balance of this custom token. It can mint more of them, and it can burn them. And then here in this update UI function, it basically keeps track of like what is the status of my of this asset. So imagine like if it's actually on chain, you could query the chain somehow. You could actually send a request to MetaMask to like read from the blockchain to see what your asset is doing, and then you can update it using this wallet.send method. So here is this is actually the plugin sending an RPC request from inside MetaMask to MetaMask, in order that it should update the assets. And that asset will be displayed like in the token list in the asset list inside of MetaMask. And finally, one cool thing you can also do is add new forms of cryptography to MetaMask, which previously was hard, but now is very easy, as you will see. This plugin has confirm as a permission just for UX purposes for the demo, but if we look at the index here, we import this BLS 12.381 library, we use the wallet.getAppKey that Dan mentioned. So AppKeys is something we've been researching internally for some time, and we get a private key. We treat the AppKey as the private key. We call the get public key method of this BLS library, and now suddenly we can sign arbitrary data and do all the usual key pair stuff with this app key and this new public key that we created. And if you think that's cool, we have Tom from Starkware here, who is actually doing something useful with this. Yes, we all hope.
Hi everybody.
Thank you for having us on. Yeah.
So hello everybody, do you hear me? I mean, I don't have Eric's voice, but
Okay, so just a quick intro. My name is Tom Brand. I'm a protocol research and a product manager at Starkware. We are a company based in Israel, and we're doing development and productization of zero-knowledge proofs, basically Starks. Our first product, which Oren, which is also here, announced today on the main stage, is a Layer 2 scalability solution to enable self-custody trading, which hopefully will be live on mainnet in January, together with our partners Diversify, which was Bitfinex a month ago. And what we're going to show here today is basically a nice... okay, we'll get it in a second. Basically, it's a very nice variation on BLS Signer, which allows us to give the users the ability to sign on our specific elliptic curve parameters. I will give a bit intro to it. So, in zero-knowledge proofs, in order to have efficient proving, you have to tweak a bit the curve parameters of a normal ECPSA. If you sign over the SECP256, which is the normal curve in Ethereum or Bitcoin, it becomes very inefficient. And so you have to pick specific parameters in order to have it efficient off-chain. But then it gets very hard to use MetaMask, for example. So what this plugin system or Snap system let us do is very easily create a plugin, which we'll show in a second, that allow the users to use MetaMask with a derived private key to sign over our specific elliptic curve, right? So I'll try to show.
And please tell me if you don't hear me or don't see anything. So I'll just start first with the plugin, and then I can go a little bit over the code. So do you see it? Is the text?
Is the text big enough? Okay.
Make it bigger.
Okay, sure.
So slightly bigger. Okay.
How is that?
So good.
Okay, great. So just to remind what we're doing, so we're building. Okay. Maybe I'll show it. So we are here in the plugin directory. We have everything we need. We just build it. And then we can start it, basically.
And then
play. Okay, great. Now we have it here on our local host. So this is like some kind of nice UI, but basically this will be in the client of the exchange, right? It won't look like that. It will be just a simple client of the exchange, which will enable us to connect to MetaMask and sign on orders which you want to submit to the exchange. So, same way that we did before, we're connecting to the installing the plugin and then allowing it to conditions that we're asking for. I hope not our plugin to make it slow, but maybe it is. And once we have it, we can just get the public key and just to make sure you understand, this is the public key based on our elliptic curve, which was derived from the seed MetaMask with the exact same method of get up key, right? And after we get the public key, we can sign any message we want, specifically an order message which says, I want to buy, maybe we don't sell ETH in Bitcoin, DEFCON, right? So that's so I want to sell DAI and receive ETH, and this is the account that they have off-chain. I won't get into it. And this is like the order ID. And then we get a prompt. You can't see it, but it says, do you really want to sign this message and the parameters that we have? Once I basically receive the signature, okay? So I can go over some of the code if you want.
Where's this BLS key backed up?
No, it's not BLS, it's a simple ECDSA.
Sorry, where's the key backed up?
As a plugin developer, are you responsible for key?
No, the key is inside the MetaMask, and I also call what?
Yes.
Okay. good question.
Okay, great. So,
first of all, we can look at the just on what we have here. So, again, we have here only two calls. One is get account, which just give you the public key, and one is the send message. And the nice thing about the way MetaMask did it, and they don't pay me, is that really, I can show you maybe. So, we previously had our own module for signing over our Elliptic curve using only the Elliptic module that MetaMask is using. And once we had it, we only needed to import it here, and it all gets bundled together in the bundled JavaScript. And then whatever you have already, you can just incorporate it into the plugin, and you don't need to do anything new. Right? So once we have our signature, all we need to do is get the public key. I will show it in a second. And you just get it from our own crypto library. And same with the signing. Once you want to sign the message, you just never mind. But you just get the message you want to sign, and you call our own module. Okay, great. Something else that you want to see?
That's probably pretty good.
Okay, maybe just okay. No.
I don't know. Is there something else?
Is any is there any questions? Yeah.
So you're like obfuscating like start groups through the plugin, so that like a DApp filter doesn't actually have to deal with it. Mm-hmm. Is that the idea?
So this has nothing to do with the proofs. It's just that we want to allow the user to sign with a slightly different signature scheme.
Okay.
Right? So this is our way to do whatever we want with the Elliptic curve, like changing the curve that we sign over, but in a very simple way. So it took us literally a couple of hours to do it. Yeah. Maybe just the design of the HTML was pretty hard, but other than that, it was pretty easy. Yeah.
Did you have to change? You said you had a lot of this JavaScript already written. Did you have to change anything to make it run under your test?
Nothing.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, I don't know if you can answer this one, but what modules are you exclusing? What modules are you doing things with Browserify? Like the Net, Native Library, FS?
I get to you.
Something changed?
So you're asking about whether we expose any native Node modules?
Right.
There are no, I don't think he's using any Node native modules, right? Because we don't inject any ambient authority from the Node environment. Browserify, I guess, does provide some, but it changes the work here because they're only getting run at they're only getting loaded at runtime. So there's no FS to even access at build time.
Well, like crypto is an example. Required crypto.
Oh, right. So Browserify inserts a crypto library, and so it would, I guess, get bundled in here.
If we use the crypto library, it will provide it.
Right. So the way Browserify works, if you require crypto, it's going to provide it. And at the moment, I don't know if Eric made it perfectly clear. Our goal is to provide zero ambient authority for right now for convenience. We do have some APIs that we're just kind of leaving in for the sake of convenience because mocking the entire fetch library behind our permission system is a little bit tedious because it's a very complicated API. But that's where we're headed towards.
Anything else?
Okay, thank you.
Yeah, a question?
Yeah, so this is awesome. I have a lot of plugin ideas that I would want to build like today, and I'm sure there are many companies that have a lot of plugins they would post bounties for. Right now with the Remix plugin system, there's no forum or community to coordinate the creation of the plugins. It's all on Gitter, and someone posts it, and that's fine, but I would like to see the best and the most needed plugins put forward and worked on immediately. And so if the answer is like, no, there's that community doesn't exist, I'm willing to put forward the legwork to create it with your input, because I want to see like some real plugins now.
Awesome. Just to recap that for anyone who didn't hear, because I thought it was really wonderful. It was a call to community action and organizing. For the people on the video, let's get a forum or let's get a community going where we list the plugins that would be most beneficial. Right now, we've got the kind of plugin repository. We also have started a key-based team channel called MetaMask Plugins, I think with an S. Which one of them's a Fisher, probably, by the time I said the wrong one. So we'll figure that out. We'll get it on the... I think it's on the wiki if you're on the repo. But yeah, I agree. We should get those. We should get bounties on them, because things like a Stark signer, that's a thing where one person makes it, every dApp can use it, right? And that those accounts are portable between dApps.
I had a question about the free money example that Eric showed, where you were listing that sort of criteria that typically users now do manually to add a token.
Right.
So does that actually, could that like replace that process so that theoretically a developer, let's say you're doing some meta transactions and you want to use a token, and then you can kind of add that token? Is that, yeah. I understand that correctly?
Yeah, yeah. The question is whether the API we're exposing for managing assets could replace the manual process of users adding tokens. That's totally the point. Me and Esteban here actually had it. Well, EIP 747 hasn't gotten real popular with y'all, but it already does that to suggest via API to add a token. So you can do that today. But this is the way that a whole plugin could do it. So if you've got like not just one plugin, but you've got you're a directory or something, and also most of those APIs like that. That is like a proposal, right? Basically, all these APIs are EIP, draft, stage. Like, we're showing it to you as early as we can so we can get feedback and not feel hurt if we change the quality API service. Okay?
Yeah, as a plugin, can you get access to, like, the mnemonic?
No, as a plugin, you do not get access to the mnemonic. What you get is you get the app key that proposal that we're using. The idea came to, it was from a Remco from 0x Protocol. It was a very simple and elegant solution, I thought. We take the your current account, for each account, we take its private key, combine it with the plugin's domain, so it's the most secure identifier we have of it, hopefully an ENS name or something, and we hash those together to generate a new private key that is exposed to that plugin. So your plugin has a private key that is deterministically generated from the user's seed in a way that only your plugin has access to. And that's why the Get App Keys proposal had some kind of a critique when we first posted it, because, oh, these keys aren't portable between sites. But via plugins, they absolutely are. So now a single plugin can represent a single signing strategy, and every account can have any number of key types associated with it. Yeah?
Well, one thing I'll follow with that question, the other one. So if the plugin ID is going to be based, deterministic based off of the script plugin, then you won't be able to carry the API that key to upgrades.
Sorry.
He's thinking that it's based off of the source. The plus is he thinks it's good. Okay.
So the key is not based on the source code of the plugin.
Okay.
Right now, it's based on the origin string, which still introduces a problem if you host it somewhere else, which is why we would like to support ENS, and then hopefully it can just be hosted at the same place, and you can just point it elsewhere.
Yeah, and that lets us, like, these plugins could be updated by DAO or something. Like, you could imagine a very, very secure, resilient process for updating them, which is something we're envious of, because the Chrome extension store doesn't give us that. And they give us very coarse permissions that we have to request. You'll never have to ask for the ability to rewrite everything on a site to expose an API using the system.
The other question I had was, are you going to be converting the ERC-20 support into the plugin, given that now tokens should also become plugins?
You know, there's a definitely a thing that we toy with now that we've been playing with this is, bit by bit, we can move our architecture into the plugin system, and we get this great kind of code isolation for free.
Yeah.
It's funny because it's kind of a great counterpart to the work that Aaron is doing with LavaMode, where we are procedurally sandboxing all of our dependencies using the exact same Agoric Secure ECMAScript system. So, I think it's a really cool opportunity for modularity and really tight security between our own infrastructure. But it's just kind of internal housekeeping. With that, yeah, for example, and for example, not just tokens, but like almost everything that we do. I don't want to go too deep off the cliff.
Yeah, Peter.
So the user prompt was just an alert, like an old school browser alert.
Yeah,
is
yeah,
there
yeah.
going to be any?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So we said it a few times, but just to reiterate, Pedro's concerned that we're just exposing the browser alert. No, that's just the MVP. We actually have an opportunity to let you render whatever rich notification you want, which is, seems like a pretty big opportunity. There have been a number of different proposals from different wallets how to let dApps propose custom notifications. And a lot of the, basically the problem with all of them to me, the thing that has given me apprehension about every proposal that I've seen, is they all end up pointing at some central repository. And they're just like, they're like decentralized magic. Like, yeah, once it's a TCR, it's not a problem or something. Here we're saying, no, very explicitly, there's gonna be a mechanism for each plugin to moderate and manage its own one. You could have a different governance protocol for each confirmation screen. You could have a different confirmation screen for each contract. That's the kind of conversation that we can have now, though, so we can say, what is the amount of granularity we want over these confirmation screens? What would most empower dApps to feel coherent to users? Oh yeah. I wanted to just wrap this up because the truth is, you know, we're coming up on one of our 2 hours, and our dream was that we could actually get some of you, like, because I bet a number of you here have like a library like Starkware had, where it's like this thing you might be able to just drop in. So I'm going to just give you a few caveats, like current issues that you might want to know when you're using the system. You might learn through the build system, you might get some errors that are strange or new to you. These are usually things about your dependencies tried to mutate the prototype of string, or tried to change function, or tried to mess with what promised it. And that's what Eric meant when he said, too clever, okay? If your dependencies are doing things that are downright dangerous, and they basically resemble the same thing an attacker would do, it's gonna fail. It's gonna fail in the build system, it's gonna fail when you try to load it into MetaMask. So this is an opportunity for you to get off of insecure dependencies and to push security updates to your dependencies, which is a cool side benefit of this. If you use our plugin system, you're making your dependencies more secure. Sweet, right? We're also going to add big fat security warnings, okay? None of these things are perfect. We're not claiming that CESS is perfect. It's not a panacea, but we should aspire for it to be. And this is the kind of thing that the community should rally around, helping fund. This is something worthy of a Moloch DAO. The community should get around formally verifying tools like CESS that let us all benefit from greatly increased security. Okay, this is a huge, huge community resource. We're going to give lots of UX love. This has been very rough. You know, sorry for the alerts and all that. We really just wanted to get it into your hands as soon as possible. We're also going to try to incorporate much better signals about what's a reputable plugin. We know that one of the reasons our users don't get phished very often is that the Chrome Store has reviews and user accounts. We would like to extend the similar opportunities, but perhaps in a more decentralized manner. Obviously, we're going to put up bug bounties, and we're going to have security audits and all sorts of stuff. You can't audit this enough. This is about the scariest thing you could do, but if we do it right, it just could be the coolest. And then, of course, we're going to improve the performance. You've probably noticed, the pop-ups are already slow on MetaMask. This did make it a little bit worse. We're going to be tooling, and we're going to be improving and tweaking and all that kind of stuff. And then, of course, we're going to allow plugins to specify settings pages because we don't know what you need, but you do. You can basically already hack it together because your plugin gets the requesting origin string, so you can basically just say my domain is my settings string and give it special methods, which is kind of a cool side benefit of getting to define your own permissions. And adding a plugin update mechanism will be coming. That's something definitely required before production. Before production, we're going to be locking down all global ambient authority. Plugins will get nothing that they didn't explicitly ask for from users. Because we're trying to make the most safe environment we can. And then we got to just refine those APIs. Beyond all that, it's just about getting you guys to communicate, rally around the plugins that are most effective, and the APIs that enable those most effective plugins. And those can be the things that we really kind of focus on as like a community and standards group of people. So that is all we have to say to get you kind of started. We hope this was a big push on the sled. Thank you. If your internet is bad, you can connect to the Wi-Fi MetaMask right now and point your browser at metamask.local, and you've got all the docs and a build of MetaMask that supports plugins and the MM plugin build tool. We were like really paranoid about how this would happen. And yeah, other than that, just scan this. If you do have the internet, you'll go to the GitHub wiki. The repo's open now. It's got a video that's very similar to the presentation we just made, so that people outside of this room can be learning this right now. Yeah, so let's spend the rest of the time. Yeah, that was exactly 1 hour. Maybe like 5 minutes or something, like maybe just like a few questions and then you want us to just start building. And we've actually got a whole team full of MetaMask members here ready to answer your questions. Actually, Ona, our UX researcher, would maybe like to say a couple words before you get started?
Yeah.
All right. Ona.
So as someone back there said that they have a lot of ideas on what plugins they want to build, we want to listen from you on what plugins you would want to build and why. So we are all the team is here. Please come talk to us. We want to hear you so that we can find out what the most impactful use cases are and what we should be building first to test the system out. If you don't have an idea of what plugin you might want to build, but you can think of what is missing in the wallet, experience for users. We also want to hear from you on what is, what in your opinion is missing from the wallet so that we can think of a potential solution for that and as a plugin or not. And the third thing is if you can think of challenges or limitations that you might see or foresee coming with the system, we also want to hear your thoughts and your ideas and your questions. So, a lot, but we are here for the next hour and we'll be there for the rest of the conference as well. Please come talk to us when you're here. Yeah?
What's that?
Subscriptions.
Subscriptions? Subscriptions like to events or subscriptions like
automated payments.
Right. Yeah. You should group up with this plugin team over here. We're going to have a little hackathon for the next hour. Groundhog does subscriptions. I bet you they can drop one in. The custom asset thing, you can just hack around. Right now, when you click on it, you get to just open a page. So hopefully that's enough to just kind of like show a proof of concept. Yeah? Cool. Maybe you want to shout out plugins that you're hoping to maybe whip up in this next hour and we can help connect people? That seems like a good use of my time. Yeah? Any other plugins that people maybe think they might want to try to build in the next hour? No? Okay. Everybody doesn't, you know, don't have to build. You can do some questions too.
Libra.
Libra?
Oh.
That's the wrong room.
Like
a generated interface so you can call any function on a contract.
Like a universal interface that lets you connect to a contract? I guess the question would be like, where do we put it? Like, so you want a place where you can customize within the MetaMask interface. So what you can do right now is you could hack our custom asset thing. The custom asset thing is very flexible. You basically just show something in our token list. You get an icon and a name, and it links to something. So you could just show a contract there linked to a universal interface. And so I think there's an opportunity to build that with what we have, but if there are other APIs that help that, I guess like an issue
that's
going to I think it's breaking apart, so I think I'll just let it roll. I'm going to be the other now, and just a question with us all. Yeah, you can probably go ahead. Thanks. Thanks, everyone.